We've got a great episode lined up for you today. We're going to talk about that incredible Chiefs playoff victory. We've got some openings and closings around Kansas City to get to. Then we'll talk about what we tried this week. Just another normal episode.
Yeah.
Of State Your Line. There's only a few of them left.
Keep getting extended because of the Chiefs.
Only a few of them left, but we're going to, you know, keep with the same formula that we've been using. So we've got our personal pine tars and our mixed plate of people we need to thank. So stick around. You might just get a shout out on this podcast.
Oof.
It's a small list.
Mine's huge.
You might get a shout out. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is January 24th. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be hosting the Patrick Mahomes Invitational, 5th Arrowhead AFC Championship game.
GEHA Field
at Arrowhead Championship game. Five straight years. That's an incredible feat. We'll have gotten to go to 4 of those 5 games. We missed the COVID year, but we get to go again. I mean, how lucky are we? What a time we're living in right now.
It's insane.
It's incredible.
It's insane that, yeah, it's kind of become expected that we're going to host the AFC Championship game. And someone was saying to me, like, oh, man, like, even if you win, you know, you might only get one home playoff game. And, like, that's weird now to, like, only get one home playoff game, where a lot of teams don't get any home playoff games, let alone like expected to get multiple home playoff games, because that's what Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid deliver. Mahomes is 5 for 5, 5 conference championship game in 5 seasons as a starter. Aaron Rodgers, a good quarterback, Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the best ever. Aaron Rodgers has 5 conference championship games in 14 seasons as a starter, and Peyton Manning. Many have Peyton Manning on the Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks of all time. Peyton Manning has 5 conference championships in 17 seasons as a starter. So Mahomes is 5 for 5 in conference championship game appearances, already as many as Rodgers and Peyton Manning, who I think, again, pretty much, I mean, Manning is a unanimous Mount Rushmore guy, and Aaron Rodgers is, you know, unanimous or a sure thing Hall of Famer. And this is Patrick Mahomes' floor. Literally, Patrick Mahomes' floor is the conference championship, and that's just insane. He. I saw Sam McDowell for the Kansas City Star put this in a really good article this morning. I think it was yesterday. Just now getting around to, like, today.
Didn't do a lot of reading yesterday. Yeah, brain wasn't quite there.
Just now getting around to all the content that was put out yesterday. But he said, essentially, Mahomes didn't have his superpowers. His superpower is, you know, a lot of things, but one of them is extending plays. One of them is being extremely mobile and moving out of the pocket, moving within the pocket. He didn't have that superpower. It's like Batman without his bat suit and without his grappling gun and all that stuff. And Mahomes was still able to get it done. It was an incredible game. There was one point that I was nervous watching the game, but for the most part, I really never thought we were going to lose that game. I didn't really ever think we were going to lose. I was never really that insanely nervous. I didn't have to go out to the concourse.
Yeah.
I watched the entire game in my seat. So, like, That's proof that I never really thought we were going to lose the game because I didn't have to bust out the concourse. Nice. It was a great game. I Mahomes, I mean, nothing more you can say.
Yeah. It was incredible. Let's start with the day.
Okay.
Too.
Yeah. Good point.
We'll start with the day.
Yeah.
Because we had a tailgate.
Hell of a tailgate.
A keg game.
Top 3 tailgates.
It was incredible. It was incredible. The energy having a playoff game back at Arrowhead was unbelievable. The amount of Jaguars fans was close to 0.
Minimal.
I met 2.
Really?
Three.
I only saw one in the parking lot.
Very nice. They flew in that morning and we're leaving after the game. And actually, we're from Jacksonville. So
wow, credit.
Three. I saw three. And then there's a couple sitting above us, but incredible tailgate. It was chilly out, but then it was a really pretty snow.
Yeah.
Fat snow, wet snow.
Yeah. But it was never really too cold. Like, I never was, I need to go. Some of those cold games that we've had before, like, you have to go stand in the bathroom for some time just to, like, warm your body up or, like, go sit in the car for a couple minutes just to, like, try to get back to normal. But I never felt, like, too cold.
Yeah.
And it was chilly.
We did have space heaters and fire pits going, though, too.
Yeah.
We had.
Because we were prepared. It was a great tailgate.
We were prepared. Brisket. Shotgun shells to eat, too.
Yeah.
Food spread was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just something about having a keg at your party. It just elevates.
It does.
It elevates.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So, incredible tailgate. I had some friends come. They just know us as the Boys Club tailgate
because
they've just seen us dance to Boys Club and really wanted to be a part of that. I felt like I really made somebody's day when Boys Club came on, and I was like, come on, bud. Get in here and dance with us.
Mm.
And you should have seen the smile on this guy's face.
I don't know.
A 30-something-year-old man's face
that
he got to participate in Boys Club with us.
It's a special tradition. I don't know if we've ever posted that, a video of
it
that.
We must have on Snapchat or somewhere before.
Okay.
Because people know about
dancing. We need to post that again. So I'll try to get that. But we have a couple of end of the tailgate, like what wraps up the tailgate traditions that – I think are pretty unique. You know, a lot of people play Thunderstruck. A lot of people, you know, do different traditions like that. A lot of people shotgun beers. I don't know a lot of people that do the Chop Circle and then end it with Boys Club.
Yeah.
Where you just dance with your boys.
Yeah. The song Boys Club by Ween.
Is that who it is?
The band. Okay. Yeah. I don't know any of their other songs.
Nope.
But
go listen to it. It's a great song. Mm-hmm. So,
then imagine bunch of boys just dancing to it, hanging out. Mm-hmm. But girls can dance to it,
too. Oh, yeah, for sure. Without a doubt. That was amazing. And Arrowhead, because of what that little dum-dum Trevor Lawrence said in a press conference in the middle of the week, like, you got to know that is going to end poorly. Like, you can't say that. If you're talking about Arrowhead, you can't say, you know, you're not worried about Arrowhead being that loud or, you know, any louder than Jacksonville. Like, that's just, it was so loud.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people were going extra because of what Trevor Lawrence said. It was one of the loudest I've ever heard it. The intro was the offense. So that was electric. The flyover for, I don't know.
A-10?
Yeah. No, they were like F-17s.
Yeah.
Sure. They were like Top Gun. They were like fighter jets.
That's what they look like.
Yeah, they were fighter jets. I'm going third generation F-17s. How about that? And that was insane. And then we get to start off Spags dialing up blitzes on the first drive against the Jags. We get the ball. Mahomes, go back and just watch the first drive. Mahomes' first drive was perfect.
I think he had four throws that would have just completed a highlight reel for a whole playoff run.
Season.
It was incredible.
Yeah, he had the jump pass. He had the sidearm sling. He had a sprinting right, throwing left. Just an amazing first drive for Mahomes. And then that just set the tone. And again, like, I know it got close, but I think the closest it got was, you know, Chiefs had a 70% winning percentage, was like the lowest it got. But it never felt like we were going to lose that game. Yeah. Chad Henne.
That's when I got nervous. When they downed the punt on the two, we had to send Chad Henne out there. That's when I was nervous.
But I was just
things
really
could have gone wrong there.
Definitely.
Things could have gone wrong there, but they didn't because we got Chad Henne.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, he takes us 98 yards to the house.
What a guy. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable that Chad Henne was able to pull that off. I rewatched the game yesterday, and I got to see like the camera shots of Mahomes on the sideline and him and Andy and what's his name, quarterback coach.
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, Nagy are there. Like, Mahomes is just in a screaming match with Andy Reid about not wanting to come out, and then Mahomes has to go back for the to get the X-ray, and like, you know, is super pissed about having to go back. And that was just fun to see the second time around, knowing we win, knowing Mahomes comes back and plays. But when you're in the stadium, you really don't get a ton of news as far as like what's going on. And kind of all the only news we got was Mahomes was questionable to return with an ankle sprain. Yeah. And that was like the only news that we had heard. But when Mahomes came back out.
What they should have done the second half before he came back out was like somehow put a rock in front of the tunnel where he comes out.
Oh, like Jesus?
Yeah, and then had someone like move the rock aside and then he comes
out. Or have Travis Kelce and Jerick McKinnon run to the tunnel and be like, he's not here. He's gone. Peter and Paul.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then the one who ran the fastest.
The one who ran faster.
Yeah, 4-3 time. I think that was Paul. John. I don't know. And then Mahomes comes, a helicopter drops him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
with his arms out like that. And then there's Thomas Jones is there, Doubting Thomas from the 2010.
That would have been a heck of an entrance. But then he comes back out to MVP chants again. It's insanely loud.
Uh-huh.
Which was just an incredible environment.
Plus on replay, A lot of talk has been made about this, and I'm agreeing with some people that I don't like on the internet. There are people I don't like on Twitter and on the internet that I find myself agreeing with, and then I'm like, oh man, do I have to change my take just because I'm agreeing with these people?
Worst person you know makes a good point.
Yeah, but it did look like a dirty play. It did look intentional from Key on the Jags. I don't know who that guy is. His last name's Key, but like, it looked like he went down and was trying to drag down Mahomes in a awkward way. It looked like he was intentionally trying to bring Mahomes down in an awkward way to potentially injure him. It looked like a dirty play. I thought it looked like a dirty play, and now I'm finding myself agreeing with awful people on the internet. So I don't know how to feel, but you know, again, I thought it looked kind of dirty. I thought it looked intentional. I think people can do things to make them look accidental on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what it reminded me of. So, but regardless, Mahomes comes back after a sprained ankle. Mahomes averaged 0.28 EPA per play, which would, if you had that for a season, 0.28 EPA per play, which measures efficiency, he'd be the second best quarterback in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
So injured, sprained ankle, Patrick Mahomes on a limited amount of plays and dropbacks, but still injured Mahomes is the second best quarterback in the NFL behind healthy Patrick Mahomes. So not surprised to see that stat. It was Andy Reid dusting off the Alex Smith playbook. Like that was for Chad Henne and for Mahomes in the second half. It was basically the Alex Smith playbook.
They ran the same Chad Henne play that we ran against the Browns on 4th-and-1. We ran it on 3rd-and-3 with Kadarius Toney running the sprint out. Chad, I think he jumped through that or like dove through that pass.
To get it around. It wasn't a good throw.
It worked again.
The ball looked like it slipped because it was a wobbly one.
Worked again.
Yeah, it worked.
And then this was cliche, but I said this, Chiefs win the Super Bowl if my one reason last week was turnover battle.
Because
I thought Spags would dial things up.
There you go.
He did turn up the heat.
Yep.
The blitzes were sexy that he was bringing. A lot of confusion was caused by Trevor Lawrence, where even when, you know, the Chiefs brought 5 and they had 5 in protection, or they brought 6 and the Jaguars had 6 in protection, guys came running free because of the confusion pre-snap that was created. And then we even saw in the fourth quarter that directly leading to the interception, which was incredible by Jalen Watson, the one-handed grab, but it was dialed up by Justin Reed coming free on a blitz. So Spags dialed it up.
Frank Clark
dialed it up in the playoffs. 4th all time in playoff sacks.
Unbelievable.
Now, Frank Clark.
Yeah.
Should be nice to him. He tries really hard.
Like, we haven't run a ton of so this was in Pro Football Focus's game recap, but we haven't run a ton of cover 4 all season on defense. But we did against Trevor Lawrence. Cover 4, 16 dropbacks. He was 6-for-14 for 41 yards and an INT. Against all other coverages, 18-for-25 for 176 yards with a TD and 0 turnover-worthy plays. So Spags changing it up a little bit, dropping to cover 4 when he needed to, and it worked. I thought Spags had a good game plan.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. Want to watch Chris Jones get after it too and dial
that,
it up.
That sack. It's weird. It's a really weird stat.
But yeah.
So Chris Jones has no playoff sacks in, I think, 12 or 13 playoff games. Zero sacks.
They didn't give him a half of one on one of those?
I don't think so. Maybe. But yeah, he has none. It's really weird. Really weird. But yeah, I mean, I think if we want to move on to the Bengals quickly. Well, first of all, after going 22 years without a playoff win and a 45-year span with only three playoff wins, the Kansas City Chiefs have 9 playoff victories over the last 4 years, 5 straight AFC title games. Patrick Mahomes has more playoff wins than every other past Chiefs QB combined. We don't need to be reminded how thankful we need to be of him. But moving on to Cincy. Cincy's annoying as hell. I mean, we've talked about this. We talked about it before and after the Bengals game. Cincy is annoying as shit. Zach Taylor is annoying. I don't remember him being good in college. And so I was looking up like where he came from. And the fact that he was Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year in 2006 for Nebraska makes me hate him even more. I just don't like Cincy. They're playing this chip on our shoulder underdog card, and it's just annoying as hell.
Selling tickets to the new, like, Cincinnati, you sold tickets to a home game.
Cincinnati,
for
you
the
sold
AFC
tickets.
Championship game.
You sold tickets to Cincy versus Jacksonville because that's what you have to do. That's how logistics work. You're dumb. Stop doing it. Joe Burrow, you're smarter than this, or are you not? Or are you just being annoying? So we really need to beat the crap out of Cincy. Like, I want to beat them by 50. They're so annoying. All the whole issue that your refund bullshit about the get over it. Get over it, Cincinnati. You're in the AFC Championship game. You would have never played, at home against the Chiefs. So
in any scenario.
In any scenario. So it's over. Get over it. Get over it. You're stop. So anyway, Cincy's annoying as hell. I'm very nervous for the game.
Because they're very good.
Because they're really good.
I'm finally ready to admit it.
Yes.
That they're good. Yes. It took me a while to get to this point, but I said for the first time on Sunday, Cincinnati's actually good.
Cincinnati's very good. I finally admitted it. I'm definitely worried because I think they're good.
Because I really hope their defensive coordinator is looking at head coaching jobs in the
interviewing
NFC.
Interviewing all week.
In the NFC.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
Because what he's done to a lot of good quarterbacks in the AFC this year and now in the playoffs, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's impressive. So I'll give Cincinnati their credit there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could see it happening in that game against the Bills. Okay, here comes the blitzing three and dropping eight once they got a lead, and Josh Allen did not have an answer for it.
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes has gotten better against rushing three and dropping eight into coverage. So in 2021, his EPA per play in that scenario was basically zero. And then in 2022, his EPA per play versus rush three, drop eight was 0.651, which is massive, which is like, 0.651 EPA per play, put that in perspective. Mahomes' EPA per play this year was 0.31 and change. So like an insane jump there. But he still couldn't get it done against the Bengals. So against the Bengals in rush three, drop eight last year, he was 0.481 EPA per play. And this year against the Bengals, he was minus 0.870. So those are a lot of numbers to say Mahomes has gotten really good against the rush three, drop eight defense against everyone except Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone except Cincinnati, Mahomes has figured out the rush three, drop eight, but not Cincinnati. So I am very nervous. We have, an extra day to prepare, an extra day for Mahomes' ankle to heal. It doesn't sound like he'll practice this week, which is also making me nervous. The over-under before the game, a potential over-under for this matchup would have been 53. It's now 46.5. So that's obviously dropped an entire touchdown because of Mahomes' injury, which makes me nervous. But, it'll be interesting.
I'm okay with him not practicing this week. That's fine.
Okay.
Get off your feet. Relax.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Get off your feet and get healthy. That's the most important thing, that he's as healthy as he can get. And yeah, I mean, narratives, it's, the narrative is going to be bad if we lose this game.
Unbearable.
But a narrative can swing if he wins this game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big game.
Massive.
Big game for Andy Reid, too.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big game for Andy Reid.
Big game. So, yep.
Woo.
I'm nervous.
All
right, but we'll be there.
Feels good.
We'll be out there for our fourth attended fourth AFC championship game in 5 years. Just absurd to think about.
Don't ever try to take this away, NFL.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
Move
and
to
if
a
they ever
site.
Do, I don't. I'm going to be so mad at every water carrying journalist for the NFL who tries to write puff pieces about how it's good for the NFL and good that they are exploring these options. Albert Breer, number one. I already saw him do it. And that's absolute bullshit if they try to take this game away.
I agree.
And move it to a neutral site.
I agree.
Don't you dare.
Don't even think about it.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Chiefs?
Just stoked. Can't wait. Yeah. I mean, Mahomes, I love you. What more can I say?
All right. Let's get into, we'll transition into some openings, but we'll keep the talk on the NFL. Nice, smooth transition there. Cities, we're going to be spending some money for this NFL draft.
Moving to a thing that the NFL took away from one location and moved it to traveling across the entire country. The NFL draft, which used to be at Radio City Music Hall every single year, and then they started moving it around from city to city. That was a good move by the NFL draft.
That was a good move.
Planning has kicked off. There's an article this week about the city approved $3 million budget for the NFL draft, but it's going to bring in $102 million.
That's
so
a great
pretty
trade.
Good investment.
It's a great ROI.
Pretty good investment.
That is a great
if you
ROI.
Ask me. But we have a map. We have a map of the location.
Renderings?
Not renderings
okay,
yet.
Okay, just a map.
But just a map of the stage, which will be out in front of Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the parade was. Union Station, I think, will kind of be inside Union Station, and the Grand Hall inside Union Station will kind of be taken over by the NFL for, you know, back room stuff. And but there is going to be all kinds of stuff going on. The lawn at Liberty Memorial in the front, and then the lawn in the back as well, behind Liberty Memorial, south of Liberty Memorial, that lawn. So just all the NFL is taking over that entire area. All week draft experience starts Thursday at noon, I think. And then there's a red carpet show. Right?
I got to get my PTO put in here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday. Night one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I can't believe it's like, so it's exactly 3 months away. It'll be April 27th, I think.
Here's my hope. I hope they have some fun fan interaction things. Maybe time some 40-yard dashes.
Oh.
Maybe see how far you can throw a football.
I can throw it further than you.
Like all those competition type things. Maybe run some routes. I don't know. Have some celebrity guest throwers.
Yeah. We could do our Ritz cousin combine up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I didn't get to participate in last time. But
the numbers were bad. The numbers were bad. I couldn't really.
Did you do throw a football?
No, there was none of that.
We need to do throw
a
football.
We did the full combine.
No, you didn't do like bench
press.
Not
bench press. Besides bench
press. Or squats.
Okay, but all the agility. All the agility stuff, numbers were bad.
What was your 40?
I think it was six. I think it was in the sixes. 40 yards is far in a dead sprint. If you think you're breaking five, you're high.
No.
Nobody listening to this is breaking five.
No. No, I'm one of the world's slowest people, like on the planet. Like people during softball, I could hear people from the dugout laughing at me at how slow and how poor of a runner I am.
Yep.
Just an awful runner. So yeah, I mean, you're not gonna. The only thing I stand a chance at is how far I can throw the ball,
which is not a combine measurement, but sure.
Yeah, I'll do the Zach Wilson throw, like the pro day throw.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up, opening, which also I'm excited for the draft. I just want to like bring a blanket out there, bring a cooler, maybe bring a P-tent.
Drugs,
and just hang out on the lawn all day.
A P-tent, that's a really good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so very excited for the draft. Or do we even bring a bucket? Do you just dig a hole?
A shovel.
On the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about trying to be a little more green this year. You know,
that's good.
Next up, we've got opening a farm-to-table vending machine. Not what you
what
think.
What is that? What is that?
Not what you think. We're talking about frozen meats.
That's right.
In a vending machine.
In a vending machine.
Where is this vending machine? Like, when am I on the go? Like, oh, a vending machine? I hope there's frozen meat in there for me to take home.
Okay.
Interesting concept.
I think here's where the concept makes sense. It is a ranch, a cattle company, trying to sell directly to consumers.
Okay. So cutting out the middleman.
Cutting out the middleman, aka wholesalers, aka supermarkets, aka online retails, the expense of that. It is Tim Hare of Green Grass Cattle Company, which is based near the metro. Premium grass-fed Black Angus beef is what his cattle company, which has been around since 1846, I thought I saw. Mm. He's a sixth-generation rancher. Legit stuff, knows how to grow a cow. It's them trying to sell direct to consumers so that they can make a little bit more on the margin, but also get really high-quality meat to consumers at a lower cost because you're cutting out all those different middlemen. So this is going to go outside. It's really close, actually.
Okay.
Super close now.
Yeah.
It's at the Front Range in Brookside. So okay. Front Range Coffee on Gregory and Oak.
I see with front, the naming.
Front Range okay. Coffee. They're going to have the vending machine outside of Front Range Coffee. So like if you're there, if you're in the neighborhood and you're grabbing a coffee and you're like, oh man, I needed some steaks. Boom, there you go. So right now they've got brats, ribeyes, strips, hot dogs, jalapeno cheddar sausage, fillets, top sirloin cuts, all in that vending machine and 24/7 access. So because it's the vending machine is outside,
mm-hmm.
you can go at 2 a.m. if you got a hankering for a steak. So you're walking
you're
home from the bars.
At a Governor Stumpy's and you're like, I want even more meat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about, you know, throwing a steak on the foreman, but one in college, we had one of those door to door steak sales guys
uh-huh.
come by and one of my buddies ended up buying, like got suckered into it.
It's a great deal.
And had all this steak and so like we were in college and we would just like come home from the bars. This is when we were living off campus and he would just like fry up a steak on the George Foreman because he had so much steak. He was like, I got to eat this at some point.
Medium rare?
Yeah. On the 2 a.m, George Foreman's Casey Strip. Just throw it on there. So you could do that with this vending machine.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. Or the jalapeno poppers late night. Sounds good.
I didn't say jalapeno poppers.
Well, you said some kind of cream
I said jalapeno cheddar sausage.
Oh, that was it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just had it. Mixed up the way the ingredients were
jalapeno
put together.
Jalapeno poppers. You're just thinking about those shotgun shells from Dave Riggs.
And we had some jalapeno poppers. And
oh, yeah.
Those were
oh,
good.
Oh, man. Those were amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
man, those were so and good. The Jack Stack.
Yeah.
I ate so much. I didn't eat dinner that night. I was stuffed.
I had some leftover Waldo pizza when I got home.
Stuffed. All right. Sierra Grill is opening up a new location. I've never heard of this.
So this, I put this on here
a
because
new location?
I have been here and it is extremely good. So
is it a chain?
No. So Sierra Grill originally opened like, dude, I don't know, Olathe somewhere, right? Like mm-hmm. 95th and Renner. I don't know if that's
like
a real intersection.
Yeah.
Basically like.
It's real.
Maybe it was like 119th and I-35. I don't know. It was way out there and it was in like an old Arby's. You know how you can just like kind of tell a building is an old like fast food
Pizza
chain
Hut.
Or something?
Yeah.
It looked like an old Arby's. And I went there for lunch and I was like totally blown away with how good it was. And I was like, wow, this place is really good. And they have a real 100% wood fire scratch kitchen. So this was like out in an old Arby's. Out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't like in a big shopping center. It was like middle of nowhere, Olathe.
Yeah, it sounds like 110th and Lackman.
Okay, yeah, sure.
It sounds Lenexa-ish.
Okay. Well, now it just moved to Lenexa City Center, which is bumping.
Hopping.
And a brand new location built. Well, it was built out, you know, with all the development going on out there. But then they built out the inside. Again, 100% wood fire, so you can see all your food cooking right there on the wood fire, kind of like Fox and Pearl, if you've ever been there. And it is really, really good food. I mean, think like seafood and steaks. So they're doing like halibut and salmon and scallops and then strips, fillets, ribeyes. Really, really good, good food. It's delicious. So just wanted to, it just opened the new location at the City Center. The Arby's location closed.
Trading spaces.
Yeah. So that place is no longer open out in 107th and Black Bob or whatever it is.
Yeah. Way out there.
So anyways, Sierra Grill would recommend Lenexa City Center. It's got some good food out there.
I
got
to get out there. Yeah, lots of good options.
Cosmo Burger out there.
I know. And that
Martin
Red.
Martin City Brewery out there now.
The Red Kitchen, I think is what it's called. The Mexican place. They're making birria tacos that look really good. All right. Also opening up, I've seen this construction because they're doing a facelift on 95th and Knoll on the, what would that be, the northeast corner of 95th and Knoll. There's a Big Biscuit. Tamara Day had a store there. I wonder if that's
for a little
back.
Bit. No, it's in PV now. Oh, or it's in
moved?
Corinth. It's in Corinth or
okay.
PV.
Anyways, they're putting a bar on 95th and Knoll on just east of Knoll.
Not any bar.
On 95th. The bar. So they've got one in West Plaza and one on Johnson Drive in Mission already, opening up another location. Looks like same menu, same style, but great place to watch a game. Great place to get bar food. So coming to Prairie Village.
Yeah, I don't think of like, when I think of 95th and Knoll, I don't think of it that being Prairie Village. But I guess technically it is because that's probably the furthest north and west corner of...
South and west.
South and west corner of PV. So I assume they're not lying. I assume that's in PV. Yeah, I think it is because Meadowbrook Park is in PV.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, the bar, I think they get a lot because their name is ironic and fun to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just it's a bar and grill, you know. It's just like a, you know, like a Johnny's Tavern or anything like that. So solid place to grab a beer, catch a game. It's funny that facelift that happened right there. So that entire strip was one of the ugliest strips. It had been the same since we lived.
An eyesore.
So we grew up at 97th and Knoll until 1998. That has been the exact same for as long as I can remember. That little
ugly stone,
ugly, horrible. So everyone's getting a facelift except Big Biscuit. I think Big Biscuit was like, we don't need it.
We're immune.
We're full every morning, every Saturday, Sunday morning. We don't even need the facelift. Count us out. Yeah. So Big Biscuit did not get the facelift. Everything else
they
stopped.
They opted out.
Yeah, they were like, we're good. We don't need it for business. We're always crowded. So yeah, that's the bar coming to PV.
Okay. This next one's a real shame. It's made our list of mixed plates a couple times. I can't remember. For sure for nachos. They have these pork belly nachos that were incredible.
Really?
Yeah, it made our list there. And maybe even in a happy hour spot, it might have made
a
list.
Makes my mixed plate for worst guacamole.
Oh, really?
Horrible.
I don't know if I've ever had their guac nachos.
It's V-bad.
Very good. Margarita's very good. Zocalo on the on the plaza, closing its doors. I feel like it's closed before.
No.
No, it's just...
There was a Mexican place there before Zocalo. Mm-hmm. So it was called Mi Cocina, I think.
Okay.
That was in that Zocalo spot. And then Mi Cocina left, and then it was empty for a couple of years, and then Zocalo came. But Zocalo,
I'd worry about that again.
Dude, that entire strip's dead.
Yeah.
There used to be Zocalo, a place called The Oliver, and Parkway Social. Right there along Jefferson.
Dead.
All three are gone.
Just a big construction site where Nordstrom is not going.
Yeah. Good job, Plaza. I hope you're happy with yourself.
It could be. Yeah. I've already laid out the plans to fix it. So.
I don't know what they're going
to
do.
No one wants to go to a mall. Stop trying to make it a shopping mall.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. You gotta do something else. But Zocalo, been open for 11 years. It will close on January 29th.
It's a good run.
It is. So the owner said their lease was up and there's a lot of work that needs to be done, infrastructure work with the building itself, and the strip is dead. So other than Bowling's is right there hanging on strong.
Oh,
but
yeah,
Zocalo is like the closest bar to our office. My office is right there because it used to be Tomfoolery's, dead. So we would go there for happy hours. It had good margaritas, but like
drink menu.
The freaking guacamole was so bad. Okay. I tried to give it many chances, but they did have some good tamales and good enchiladas. So anyways, Ocala, closing on the 29th, RIP.
All right.
We'll see if anything happens there with the Oliver space, with Parkway Social, with Zocalo. Lots of...
If you need ideas, Plaza, I'm chock full of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard.
No, they should feel bad.
They should feel dumb.
They should feel very dumb.
They should feel very, very dumb.
Yeah.
It's an area that should be packed with people walking around everywhere every weekend. And it's a shopping mall that is outdated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Take that, Plaza. You could be great. I'm rooting for you.
I want you to.
I got
to
tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts me, but mm-hmm. I got to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move into a little, what did we try this week? All right. Big week for me. I bought a house. Which is a fun, terrifying experience all in one.
Mm-hmm. So scary when they actually accept your offer. You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, because this is the fourth offer we've made.
Uh-huh.
And so every offer, you're just like, you are hoping that it gets accepted. But then you're also secretly like, whew, didn't have to just give over my life savings. That's kind of nice to not have to do that. And then it finally does get accepted. And you're like, oh, shit, this is very real.
Write a check for that? Oh, yep. God.
What made this one very special was I made the offer from Arrowhead Stadium.
Mm.
On my phone, deal was coming in. I had to put it in, and I couldn't not go to the Chiefs game
because
of this. Yeah. I had to be there. Had to basically get on my phone, do all the DocuSigning on there.
From the concourse?
From the concourse.
Yeah.
From the concourse at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Got the deal done.
You know who you can thank for that?
The deal is done.
You know who you can thank for that?
Mark Donovan.
Mark Donovan, baby.
Mark Donovan, thanks for the Wi-Fi.
Good Wi-Fi.
I owe a lot to Mark Donovan now.
Mark Donovan has made a huge turnaround with this podcast.
He has. He's gone from just the villain to the hero.
Zero to hero
now. So I'm taking my talents over to Missouri. So
that's right.
That's why we've got to end this podcast. We're losing our integrity of having one person on each side of the state line. But
which we had for 9 months?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty
8 months?
Good. Yeah. Pretty good. So
8 months out of the 4 years, we had one person on each side of the state line.
Moving over to Waldo, over by Governor Stumpy's and McLean's in that neighborhood. So excited to join the Waldo crew over there because I mean, I don't know. I've posted on social media, but I got a baby coming. Got a baby on the way, due in June. So we had to put a roof over our baby's head. Had to get out of the lower level. Thanks, mom and dad. But we decided to close in 30 days, which some people say is fast. But when you're living in your parents' basement,
with a baby on the way,
30 days sounds okay. So very, very excited. Very happy. My wife and I are so excited that we're expecting one in June, which is incredible. And then now that we've got a house to move into. So big steps. Big step this weekend.
Massive what we try this week. Huge.
That's a bomb.
Huge what we try this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, congrats. Yeah.
Catherine Lee, supporter of the podcast. She's been a sponsor, guest on the podcast.
Of the show.
She helped me out. She was fantastic.
She was our realtor as well.
Can't thank her enough. Can't recommend her enough. So, yeah. How do you say thank you to your real estate agent? It's tough.
But if you have a podcast.
Start a podcast and thank her on that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
It's pretty awesome.
Catherine Lee, Bash & Co.
Very excited.
Yeah, you guys are about a 10-minute walk from us because I've timed the walk to McLean's.
Yeah.
So the walk to McLean's for us is about 8-9 minutes, and you're like five houses past McLean's.
Yeah.
So very excited to have you guys in the neighborhood. And, McLean's. Pepper Jack burrito.
Dangerous.
So close for
Very
you.
Very dangerous.
So close.
Yeah. People talk about Governor Stumpy's food too a lot.
Dude, their burgers are delicious.
Legendary. I heard their ribs are incredible too.
Yeah.
You ever heard about that?
No.
People talked about them.
Is that a joke?
I don't know. I've seen it on the internet. I don't know if I'm getting got on that, but might have to try them now that I'm a local.
Yeah, you are. You're very close. Mm-hmm. Good family spot too. You can take your kids to Governor Stumpy's. And Beer Station is going to be
gone
with
City Barrel
City
Pizza.
Barrel coming in. Oh,
I know.
Good things happening right on Gregory there. You got Front Range, McLean's, I don't know if you've been in McLean's lately, but they've expanded a ton. They're just printing money at McLean's.
No, I haven't been in
a
minute.
They have a printing press, U.S. Treasury printing press in the back of McLean's because they are just printing money.
I know, and the Front Range Stumpies. And then once that pizza moves in with City Barrel, it's a great spot.
Covered. All right, welcome to the neighborhood. This week, I tried a couple of different things. Jim's Alley Bar, I finally got there. When we talked about it opening, for some reason we got this like
sports bar,
not a sports bar.
Okay.
They do have TVs in there. We were there for a happy hour on a Friday. Neither TV was on. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they want the sports bar vibe.
The article definitely talked about sports.
Yes.
Maybe
they're just like, Jim was a fan of sports.
Yeah. And we took it and ran with it.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it is like in an alley. So there's a sign that says like Jim's Alley Bar, and it's down an alley in the crossroads. It's 18th and Locust area. And then you'll miss the door because the door is like this big, you know, everything in the crossroads, every building has like murals on it and art on it. And so the art covers the whole side of the building, including the door. So the door is very camouflaged by the art. It's a X-Men art. So it's Wolverine, a big Wolverine. And so you might miss the door because I got there and the people who came after me, they all missed the door. But it's definitely like a speakeasy vibe. It's got maybe like four booths in it, a big long bar, and then like three or four tables in it. Mm-hmm. Really a fun spot, a great spot for like a little small happy hour. I mean, the staff there was super friendly, super nice.
What's their deal? Draft beers, cocktail menu?
A few draft beers, a few cocktails, but they're keeping things simple. So like their cocktail menu is just like a margarita, gin and tonic, rum and Coke, but like
elevated.
So like, you know, they use local gin, local tonic, local rum, all this stuff. So it's not just like a local tequila. It's not just like a, you know, house margarita or anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And then there's some draft beer, mostly local beer. And, it definitely has a similar vibe to King G's. And you can order from the deli of King G's. So you can order a sandwich or, a thing from King G's. So, Jim's Alley Bar, fun time. And then tried Coast to Coast, Martin City Brew.
South.
They have the sister concept called Coast to Coast, which is like seafood options. Really good. Did the restaurant week. Got some lobster mac and cheese. That was delicious.
Some
New England clam chowder. That was delicious. And a Reuben sandwich. Also delicious. So Coast to Coast. And they did beer for the carry out restaurant week menu.
Put in a...
No, just a can of beer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
From Martin City.
Got a ton of Martin City on draft up there too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, Coast to Coast on 135th and Warnell.
When the weather's nice, they got a little patio there too.
Yeah. It's a good spot. The lobster mac, sucker for good lobster mac, but it was delicious.
All right. Let's see. Next up, we've got our personal pine tars this week. So, some good things we talked about. Now the personal pine tars. I've been in the middle of a license plate saga for about six months now.
License plate saga.
A saga. So one car family, not to brag, just going green. It was my wife's car originally, and then we have it together now. So license plate gets expired. It's a Missouri tag. We have insurance.
Because your wife is from St. Louis.
From St. Louis. But our car insurance address is Kansas. So when it comes time for renewal, Missouri's like being very difficult. They're like, you have Kansas insurance. You got to do all this other stuff before you can get your tags renewed. And we're like, okay, well, that's a pain in the ass. Step number two, Jessie's now changed her name, her last name.
Oof.
I need to get on the title now at this point. So then now it's about applying for a new title with my name on it. So like you basically have to sell the car to yourself to add your name to it.
Oof.
So now it says Jessie Lavo, her maiden name, and Kevin Ritz on it.
Mm.
Because doing a name change would have been a whole nother process.
Mm.
Our plates have been expired for 6 months at this point now.
Yeah, any tickets?
Because of how long this took, no tickets. Got
just
pulled
clutch.
Over once, but no ticket, just a warning. And so now we're at the place where, okay, now my name's on it. we're going to have to go to Kansas, I guess, to get tags. Well, now I got to go get a VIN inspection in Kansas because it's only registered in Missouri.
Ugh.
And then I've got to go to the DMV. And at this time, again, we're still looking for a house. We're looking on both sides of the state line.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to Kansas and have everything. She's like, all right, let me ring you up. Here we go. And she's like, okay, where's Jesse? She needs to be here. And I'm like, no, I'm on the title too. And she's like, no, it says Jesse and Kevin, not Jesse or Kevin. It's like, son of a bitch.
This cannot be.
So she said, we can do two things. You can either get Jesse to sign a power of attorney to let you make this decision.
Does that mean you have to hire an attorney?
Or can I
you
thought
just print
so.
Off a power
print
of
it
attorney?
Off. Okay, yeah. Print it off a form. Or you can sell the car to yourself again to change it from and to or. And I'm like, good Lord. I just am trying to give you my money and get a license plate.
Yep.
So then I have to go get Jesse to sign this power of attorney to hand it over to me. I come back to the DMV, get back in line after like 20 minutes of waiting. Hey, guess what? Our systems are down for the day.
Oh, my God.
So you got to come back later. So have to come back later, finally get the tags, pay for it, and then bought a house in Missouri. We'll do the whole song and dance again next
year. Hopefully it's easier for you.
Yeah. Now that I have a house in Missouri, I guess so, but.
How do we, as a society,
I mean, 7 months
this,
it took me
this
to get
is not a way to function.
Plate. Yeah.
This is not a way to function. This is, why do you even have to do all this? It's a freaking car. If I buy a chair, I don't have to register it.
What am I going to have to do now? Get a license to operate my toaster?
Gah!
I mean, come on.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's
silly, stupid.
It took a long time, and it was a lot of work to figure all this out. Like, if we didn't have the internet, I don't know what I'd do.
You just have to go talk to people.
I guess. But, like, to sell the car to myself to get my name on it, and then to get VIN inspections, to then get, finally, a Kansas license plate.
Why does it...
Finally buy a house
in Missouri. I just don't understand. Maybe cars were... I don't understand why we have to keep track of cars, why the government has to keep track of cars.
Here's the good news. Self-driving cars.
God, please.
I'm so excited for them. I'm ready for cars to just drive themselves. They come pick you up whenever you want.
Self-driving cars are not having a good moment right now, Kevin. If you were to buy stock in self-driving cars right now, it'd be going poorly.
Well,
it'd be going poorly.
Sounds like a great time to buy while it's low.
Let's get some other people involved in the self-driving car manufacturing business so that we don't have freaking Teslas running people over and driving off cliffs and whatnot. So,
Danny, you're getting... Look at the numbers.
No, I agree.
Look at the numbers. Do you know how many people die a year in car accidents?
I agree.
Do you know how many?
No.
Guess.
32,000.
Yeah, like 35,000 people a year.
What a guess.
That's a lot of people. But then the headline of the self-driving car kind of ruins it. But maybe we wouldn't have to get license plates or driver's license or have to have cops sit on this set up speed traps. Like that
we wouldn't even need
traffic cops wouldn't exist.
We wouldn't even
tickets.
Need lights. Traffic lights. The cars could just be communicating with each other and they'd just be passing through one another if we lived in a society.
I'm ready for self-driving cars.
My personal pine tar. People are trying to guilt me into continuing the show. And we made the announcement that the show is ending and people are like, oh, maybe just once a month or like maybe go until the NFL draft or maybe go until the airport opens or, you know, all this stuff is just like.
Or baseball season's a great time to have a podcast.
Yeah. It has to end at
some
point.
What about the Chiefs next season? We might need some updates then.
It has to end at some point. Maybe we'll keep the feed open and we'll just do like one show a year or something. But I'm not going to be guilted into continuing to do this show. So with that, people we need to thank.
We need to thank some people. We need to thank some people for their help with this podcast. We're here to do it. We only have 8 spots on this mix pack.
I'm going to have to, we're just going to have to run a lot of
versions of the mix plate.
Yeah, should we do a quick generic families? Get them out of the way?
To our families. Thank you.
There it is.
Thank you to our families, our wives.
Wives, big one there.
Thank you.
That's up. You guys are above the mixed plate.
They won't hear this.
Above the line item.
So tell them. Yes. Make sure you tell them because they aren't listening.
Our wives will not hear it.
They will not listen. So tell them that we thanked them first.
Yeah, wives, kudos, families. My mother-in-law helps out with the kids on every single Monday night because I'm gone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Your father-in-law, for any time I mention something cool on the podcast, a gift might be coming my way.
Probably.
Which has been awesome.
He will hear this. So yeah. He does hear that. Thank you.
I'm trying to think what's seasonal, what's good that I need to mention that I like. because it's always fantastic. My mother-in-law in St. Louis, who listens every week.
There you go.
Spread the word to St. Louis.
Very much.
We're the number one Kansas City podcast in St. Louis.
Without a doubt.
No doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. So there you go.
It's a big...
You guys, family, wives, you're above the line, right?
Above the line.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There it is. So 192.
Okay. Let's go with meet number one here. I'm going with... follow the money. Going to the sponsors. The title sponsor that we got to have in Boulevard, which was a ton of fun. So got a shout out to Boulevard, Adam and Allie, who helped us out a ton. They were so fun to work with. We got to meet like the master brewer from Boulevard. We got to pitch quirk ideas, beer ideas. We got a bunch of awesome Boulevard gear from them.
A lot of free beer.
A lot of free beers from them. Remember the...
Yeah. Well,
the sugar, barrel strength.
Yeah, Sugarwood.
Baklava.
Sugarwood baklava.
We got so drunk that tailgate because we just drank the baklava.
It was 13%. Like 15% ABV, that beer.
That was a wild tailgate with the baklavas. But very, very good. And so got to say thanks to the peeps that kept the podcast fed.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you to Adam and Allie. Genuinely, you guys are awesome people. And it was so much fun to team up with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, continuing along that. Let It Fly Media, baby. Where we've been doing the podcast for the last almost year and a half. That's Ben Walnick and Andrew Carter, who are the founders of Let It Fly Media. They've become
Don't forget Tom Martin, who was first guest.
We interviewed Tom Martin.
That's how we found out about it.
When he was at KCTV5, we requested to interview Tom Martin. This is early, early on in the podcast and in Let It Fly Media. I think Tom was Let It Fly's third or fourth employee.
Mm-hmm.
So when we set up the interview with Tom, he was still working at KCTV5. Then in between setting up and actually interviewing him, he had moved over to Let It Fly Media. We interviewed him at the Let It Fly Media office in Waldo above Betty Ray's, humble beginnings. And that's what connected us with Ben Walnick and Andrew Carter, who are the two founders of Let It Fly Media. They've been massive supporters. They were in the Boulevard pitch with us. So when we pitched Boulevard about sponsoring the show, one of the ways we were like, look, we're legitimate. Here's Let It Fly Media with us. They're going to partner as well. And so basically the Boulevard partnership allowed us to partner with Let It Fly Media. And that just, I think, took the show to another level as far as production value. A lot of that's due to our amazing producers. In the beginning, it was Tucker Franklin. And now it's the great Haley Mertens, thank you very much, who's with us now. And they've been amazing. Obviously, you've seen the video content that's come out since the partnership. It's been so much better. So, Let It Fly. Cannot thank you guys enough. It's cool to brag about working with you guys because you are an amazing company.
Yeah, and it was awesome being on their shows, too.
Yeah.
The Bracketologist. Bring it back, Ben. Bring it back, Ben. I know you've got a lot of extra time on your hands. So bring back the Bracketologist. Mm. We'll be your guests anytime.
Sure.
Anytime. Maybe he'll do once a year.
Maybe.
We'll do once a year.
Yeah.
all right. Let's see. I'm going to go with meet number two here. I'm going to go with Trizolo.
There you go.
Which was a fun partnership because we got introduced to a lot of people and brought a lot of legit interviews on. So Joshua Brewster, we got to have him on who... Is he the president? Is that his title?
He's maybe? President of one of the divisions. Yeah.
One of the divisions, which was awesome. So we got to have him on. And then that opened doors because they're a great firm who has a ton of local connections in Kansas City.
That actually opened the Boulevard door.
Lowe's Hotel, we were there. And a lot of other connections that we got to make. And then like being able to like be introduced by a PR firm was like, hey, these guys must be legit. They're working with Trizolo, so...
Yeah, Ginny and Jenna from Truzzolo. They were Truzzolo, both, well, Jenna was in our Boulevard pitch as well. So when we pitched Boulevard with Let It Fly, Jenna from Truzzolo was also there and supporting us. She vouched for us. She said we were legit because she worked with Boulevard. Truzzolo, amazing support from them. Mm-hmm. All right, my number two. I am going with another great sponsor who introduced us to a lot of great guests is Lead Bank. So Melissa and Kim from Lead Bank, who are their marketing team, and then who's their CEO? Who we interviewed? Who
made the connection? Josh.
Yeah. Who originally made the connection. We just interviewed Josh from Lead Bank, and then, you know, that took off. He introduced us to their marketing team. And so Lead Bank got some of our best guests as part of our Leading the Line series, which was, it legitimized our show a little bit because we got some really amazing leaders throughout the city on that podcast, from the Jazz Museum to
Gift.
Gift and
Kansas City Art Institute.
Yeah, just a ton of like Kansas City movers and shakers, like truly people who are making a difference in the city. That was part of Leading the Line, and Lead Bank, Melissa and Kim there were awesome supporters of the show, and just again vouched for us when we were trying to get guests. So thanks to Lead Bank.
All right, this is going to be a combination of a couple of people. So I'm gonna call it the people who got me on TV. That's who I'm gonna thank.
Us,
yes. But I'm also gonna go with Mick Schaefer because he saw the burger tweet where we brought in a Kansas City Stack cheeseburger from London. Shout out to Titties who brought it to us. We were like the first people in Kansas City to try one.
Oh, without a doubt.
Mick Schaefer saw it, put us on the news. I got half a second of TV time, I think.
Yeah.
A half a second. You got like three lines, but whatever. No big deal. And then after that, Brittany Krugel from Fox 4, who liked the show, watched it. She's a producer at Fox 4. And we got put on their morning show on Friday mornings. And we like got to be on TV just like as ourselves.
Just chatting it up
and like be interviewed on TV to be the... The entertainment was something I didn't think I'd ever do in my life.
Yeah.
But it was a ton of fun, a lot of fun. Nick and...
Lindsay?
No. Ah, man, that's really rude of me.
I don't watch local news. you want to keep looking it up?
Yeah, I'll keep looking it up. Yeah, it was Nick and...
Katie.
No, I don't remember. Dang, that's really rude of me, though. Well, I'm looking up some... I don't know if she's still there.
Maybe not.
Yeah, so I don't feel as bad. But I still feel she'll be bad. Should feel kind of bad. But Nick, shout out Nick, because I remember Nick's name.
All right, my side number one here. I'm going with PlexPod Comments.
Oh, the old PlexPod. PlexPod
Westport. Julie from PlexPod got us that connection. And... That was our studio for a long time. Many episodes were filmed at the PlexPod Commons. So basically, you know, because we recorded there, you know, when we gave them shout outs, PlexPod basically just gave us a membership. And so we got to kind of come and go as we pleased. And again, the ability to bring people there to interview them was a major game changer as opposed to like my apartment, which is where we were doing it before PlexPod. It kind of legitimized us a little bit, and it gave us a place to work that wasn't our houses or apartments or anything like that. So it was a huge game changer when we got into PlexPod. Again, quality of the show went way up when we got there. So shout out to PlexPod and Julie who helped with the connection there.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Side number two. I'd like to thank you, Danny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this isn't a solo show. Couldn't be done with just myself. So
I didn't even have you on my list.
I know. That's really rude of you. I wouldn't expect it any other way. But it's a two-man show. And the fact that we got to do this for this long and kind of riff off each other and have this time each week to talk about whatever's going on in the city was a ton of fun. And I think just having a partner helps keep us accountable. Like, if we didn't have each other to be like, all right, well, I got to show up because he's going to show up. Mm-hmm. Or I got to bring my A game because Danny's going to bring his A game. It just makes the show go a lot smoother and a lot better. So thank you.
Oh, wow. Oof. All right. Side number, Jessie's going to cry if she listens to this, by the way.
Tell Jessie that I said that and then she'll cry.
Yeah, she'll cry anyways. All right. Side number two for me. All right. I'm going to go with Austin Ryder and Brad Keller.
Oh, professional athletes.
Professional athletes. Again, when we started the show, we were just like, we'll see where this goes. Mm-hmm. Who knows? And then we got to interview a couple of professional athletes. We interviewed Brad, I think, 3 times. We got to interview Austin, like, right after we won the Super Bowl, basically. And that was so cool. It was, you know, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a sports announcer or mm-hmm. writer. I went to Mizzou. The reason I went to Mizzou was to do sports journalism. And I always dreamed of like interviewing professional athletes. And yeah, we got to do it. We got to interview 2 KC guys, athletes. And that was a really cool thing. That was a cool moment in the show. And I loved it. So it just kind of felt like, you know, this is all building to that moment, and it was fun.
Yeah, and then I saw Austin at training camp this year, and like I got to say hi to him
because
we like knew each other.
Yeah,
one time I was in Chicago after the Royals and Cubs played there, and I DM'd Brad Keller. It's like, hey, what bar are you going to? Let's hang out. And he DM'd me back.
Sweet.
Didn't meet up, but still pretty cool. We almost did. I almost hung out with a professional athlete.
Almost. Like,
that would have been pretty cool.
That
would have
been sweet.
I would have told everybody. I also played for the Royals. Oh, no doubt about that.
Oh, for sure. With your hair, it kind of could have worked.
I know, could have. So shout out to those guys. Also, I forgot on my people who put us on TV list, Dan Cohen.
Oh, Dan the man.
Dan the man interviewed us and, got to tell the story of the Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
Got to tell the story tailgate. Of the tailgate,
mm-hmm.
Which was a ton of fun.
Yeah, too, and Dan's TV. A great guy. We run into him a lot.
He comes to the tailgate.
Comes to the tailgate, and I've run into him at out and about. So, yeah, Dan's great. I'll start, keep going here. Honorable mentions. Colleen Kelly, our first guest ever. Colleen is fantastic. First guest ever. Alec Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
We had Alec on a lot to bring the good stuff to our Royals previews, and Alec is just a super, super smart guy and is definitely going places. Ethan Hutchison, was a sponsor of the pod.
He was a sponsor of the pod.
And so that was very nice of him. Catherine Lee also sponsored 3KC, the mm-hmm. t-shirt company. Great supporters of the show. Made us some Q-Bomb shirts. Ryan Carruthers. He took those photos of us. So when we had early on, we had some professional photos taken by a friend, Ryan Carruthers, Ben Conahan with the logo design.
Yeah, and Paul Burkhart with the original logo design.
Oh, yeah.
Paul Burkhart did the original one, but Ben did the Raytona Beach design.
Okay.
You seen that flag around?
I'll look for it.
Okay.
It might be in my garage.
It'd be sweet.
Tamara Day, celebrity, TV mm-hmm. star. Was a very early guest. Mayor Q and staff for hooking it up. Robbie for hooking us up with the staff, and then the staff for hooking us up. That gave us, it's all about appearing legitimate, and mm-hmm. having Mayor Q on early on was definitely helpful. That was like 3 years ago today,
mm-hmm.
or it was 3 years ago recently.
In January, yep.
Yeah, and then Wonder Fuzz.
The Fuzz.
The outro song mm-hmm. is Wonder Fuzz.
Yeah. I've also got just the Chiefs in general for being really, really good, which is really, really fun to talk about. I've got myself.
Okay. I have you on mine.
Because I wanted to thank myself. There's like an acceptance speech where someone does that.
I don't know.
It's a really good sound.
Oh, when Matthew McConaughey.
No, I think it might be
or his future self.
I think it might be Kanye West actually who did that. So maybe I'll walk that back. But no, I still thank myself. I think we hit everybody else.
No, we did not hit everyone else.
No, I think that's it. All we needed to thank.
We're definitely forgetting
people. If you're
going
to make this list, we're not thanking you.
Yeah.
I think about the people who came on as guests too. Mm-hmm. Some of our friends, some of our family who jump on the lake episode. Some of the people we got, like Danny Linder, who we interviewed in the Arrowhead parking lot after games.
Said DeMarcus Robinson was the best wide receiver
top
in the league.
Top 10 in the league. Top 10 in the league. All-time quote from State Your Line. And then, yeah, we would have people on as guest pickers for the mixed plates.
Yep.
Who volunteered to hop on.
I mean, every
as
guest,
well.
Obviously. Every guest that we've ever had on the show is a massive thank you. KC Magazine, they wrote about us at the beginning of the pandemic. They said 5 podcasts to listen to while you're stuck inside. And then we won their award for best local podcast 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
The KC Mavs.
Oh, yeah.
Gave us tickets to a game. And we've gotten to interview we've had 3 interviews with the Mavs.
Yes. Got to interview a couple head coaches.
Yep.
Got to interview some players. Got to host a happy hour event
for them,
too,
mm-hmm.
Which was a ton of fun. So, I mean, it's legit. Professional coaches.
Of course.
Professional players and coaches interviewed.
Yeah. We have many, many more to thank. I know we're forgetting people. I sincerely apologize for forgetting. But, like, you know, all the guests, everyone who listens, people who have told other people to listen, people who listen every week. People who text me like their thoughts on the show on Tuesday morning, because that's the first thing they do is listen. And then they text me Tuesday morning, something about the show. I sincerely appreciate, getting those texts and knowing, that there are people out there that are listening the listeners, obviously, it means a ton.
Yep. All right. So, we'll be back next week. Should be back on Tuesday again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, we'll see.
Should be.
Yeah, should be.
Back on Tuesday.
Yeah, back on Tuesday. We'll
back
commit.
Back on Tuesday for sure. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to follow us on social media @StateYourLine, and we'll see you around Kansas City.